easy when you work at home. I mean, I sit in different locations and stand and walk around.
I just get up and go out and walk around or do something. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. I should be working. Go back and...
Well, it's 7 o'clock, so I'll go ahead and call the June 5th, 2017 Design Review Board meeting to order. We'll start with roll call.
Carolyn Adams.
Here.
Tim Olson.
Here.
Nolan Morgan.
Here.
Brad Brown. Scott Racer. Dave Russell.
Here.
Susan Bush.
Here.
All right. We don't have any minutes to approve. And tonight there is only one item on the agenda, the conceptual design conference for the Rose Hill mixed-use project. Are there any audience members that have any comment on items that are not related to tonight's agenda? And seeing none, I'll hand it over to Tony.
Thank you. Tony Levitt, Planning Department. So I'll just give a brief overview of the project, and then I'll let the applicant dive into the details. So again, this is for the Rose Hill Mixed Use Project. This is the conceptual design conference for that project. For those not familiar with the site, it is located on Northeast 85th Street between 120th and 122nd Avenues to the north of 85th. Currently, the site contains a mixed-use shopping center with the primary tenant being Petco. Additionally, on the site is a Outback restaurant, a Kirkland Auto Works auto repair business, and then also the site includes half of the Costco parking lot to behind the main shopping center building there. So the ownership, just to clarify, the ownership does not include the U-Haul site. So that is not part of this proposal. The applicant is proposing a five-story mixed-use building. Total units haven't been figured out, but right now the general area is between 600 and 650 units, around 88,000 gross square feet of commercial space on the site. Below that, they plan to install 2 to 3 levels of below-grade parking. Additionally, there is some surface parking that is included. Vehicular access would be from 122nd Avenue and 120th Avenue. They will have to maintain a driveway or access easement to the U-Haul site over their portion of the property. You'll see that in their plans, but just want to outline that. The applicant has provided 3 massing and site design options for you to consider tonight. Just to go over some of the key zoning regulations. So commercial, office, residential, including stacked, are allowed uses on the site. Some special regulations that exist for the zoning district, which is RH3, at least 50% of the total gross floor area located on the ground floor of all structures on the subject property must contain retail establishments, restaurants, taverns, hotels, or motels. These uses shall be oriented to Northeast 85th, major pedestrian sidewalk, a through block pedestrian pathway, or an internal pathway. Additionally, residential uses may be located anywhere in the building above the ground floor. Additionally, there are some height regulations that apply. The height limitation is 45 feet along 85th Street, and it increases to 67 feet along the north property line. Setbacks, there are no established setbacks, so that is one thing we want to work on tonight that is determined as part of the design review process. Additionally, there is a 10% requirement for affordable housing on the site. Some of the things we're going to want to look at tonight obviously, what are some of the key advantages of the project, and identify appropriate mitigation techniques for building massing. Possible techniques include vertical and horizontal modulation, corner treatment, roof forms. We're going to want to look at residential open space for the sites, how parking lots, garages, vehicular circulation work, some architectural styles and scale, and some of the building details and materials at a later date. pedestrian orientation. We're going to want to look and make sure that we have pedestrian-friendly building facades, public improvements, sidewalks, and street trees along the adjacent right-of-ways, and pedestrian connections, lightings, amenities, and plazas. We'll have you discuss how does the massing location structure relate or respond to the pedestrian environment. What are opportunities for pedestrian-oriented spaces at the street level? What are some key pedestrian connections, and how will the project engage pedestrians? Finally, we're going to want to look at some landscaping. Obviously, the design guidelines are looking for a variety of landscaping at ground level for pedestrians, reduce scale, and add diversity to building forms, and finally, to soften and enhance the visual quality of the urban environment. We're going to want to look what are some opportunities for landscaping and open space on the subject property. So tonight, we're looking for you to provide guidance on the applicant's massing and site design options. We also want you to provide some feedback on the building setbacks, as I noted previously. And finally, we want you to determine what models, drawings, perspectives, et cetera, the applicant shall submit with the design response conference application. And with that, I will pass it to the applicant, unless there's any questions. Sure, Dave.
Tony, in the zone chart, it says the height of the structure, 45 to 67 feet above average building elevation along the north end of the zone.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean, what does that mean? Is it 67, 45, or somewhere in between?
Well, so it's yeah, it's got to start at, it's 45 along the northeast 85th Street.
Yes.
So there's requirement there, and then as you step back in the site, it can increase to 67.
Sure, 67 feet above ABE
mm-hmm.
for the site in general, mm-hmm. but there isn't a call out here that says the design can automatically have 67 feet on the north boundary. Is there? I mean,
I think it was getting to that. I think
I don't know what it means.
Yeah. Let me grab the. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's right. I forgot about that little detail. So with the residential piece, that gives them, the idea was to give them incentive for the residential. So if you have a development that contains the residential piece, you can go up to 67. So we're looking really at the first portion. Basically, it's the first chart. Section 5334-101.
I'm strictly concerned about the north boundary.
Okay.
You know, I understand that 67 feet above ABE,
mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so actually, special regulation.
I just wonder whether
yeah.
this is calling out anything.
Yeah, special regulation 7 says maximum building height for a development, including residential use, is 67 feet above the average building
yeah.
elevation. However, the equivalent of the additional gross floor area constructed above 45 feet over ABE must be dedicated to residential use. Residential use may be located anywhere in the building above the ground floor.
Yeah.
So I think it gives, it's prescriptive, but at the same time, it gives us some, I think, a little flexibility on there. So,
yeah, okay. Yeah. So it's your interpretation is that it doesn't mean that the 67 feet at the north boundary is automatically approved. It's subject to discussion.
One, it's also no. average building grade, too. So it's not like, okay, that property line gets...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I thought this was... Can we do a little bit of clarifying? Because the site itself has such a severe drop from, you know, 85th,
yeah.
just along 85th, and then especially down, you know, to where is now Outback. That's such a substantial drop. So along 85th,
mm-hmm.
how are they determining?
Yeah, so the 45 feet shall be measured above the midpoint of the frontage of the subject property along Northeast 85th Street.
Okay. So it's right at the street then?
Yeah. So
it doesn't take into account the...
Yeah, so it's street, you go 45. So, yeah, I mean...
So 45 feet from the midpoint on 85th?
From the midpoint of the street or the midpoint of the structure?
maybe about the midpoint of the frontage of the subject property along 85th.
Yeah. So not counting you, I'll go from go from that little chamfered corner at 122nd, mm-hmm. that frontage on 85th, the midpoint of that is,
okay.
yeah.
is where it's, the 45 starts.
And then just that, since this is some, what, probably a new zone for us all, right? I mean, I don't know if anything else has been done.
Yeah, no, this yeah, is a, this so, is brand new, or right. relatively
so
new
zone.
So
that 45 feet, what says, if it stays level, it goes up, I mean, how far back from the property line does it have to maintain that height?
It's a good question. I would think that the, as long as they have, because we have the retail is 45, and then if you have residential above that, you're allowed to go to 67. I don't know. We didn't get really, I think that's the one thing they didn't get into too much detail, how that works.
So, Tony, another point in the report under site, when it talks about the zoning around the site,
mm-hmm.
it says to the west, Costco maximum height 35 feet. It's actually 67 feet, right?
I think that's a different zoning.
No, I'm talking about in terms of it's a different zone,
mm-hmm.
but we're talking here laying out what the surrounding heights are to this property. And while Costco is currently 35 feet, that area is zoned for the same height as this property.
Okay, well, I'll have to clarify
should,
that. Look
and I hope we don't lose mm-hmm. Costco.
No.
Well, Costco's RH1A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a
yeah.
And its height is 67 feet.
Okay.
Okay.
Not the 35 feet that says here.
Okay.
Another tiny point, the pedestrian connection along part of the north side,
mm-hmm.
that's leased property or city-owned property or...
The easement that for the
well, the little walkway that goes along,
yeah. So it's a pedestrian easement that exists right talking about right here along the
yeah, only
along
it's
the parking lot there.
It's to the right, it's the right piece. Well, yeah, it comes
yeah.
along there,
yeah,
but it comes from 122nd,
yes. yeah. So they will have to basically, if something gets constructed over that, we'll have to redo the easement, and they have that in their plans
yeah.
to redo that pedestrian connection there.
Thank you.
To around the edge of the site. So. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Julia Nagel. I'm principal and director of architectural design at Hewitt. Our project team is Scott Shaw's project manager, two of my partners, Matt Porteous, landscape architecture, Sean Ludvigsen, and then we have Jeff Bennessy, who's also a landscape architect, and our two project designers are John Reinders and Alem Bichu. We'd like to also thank the volunteers for your time, and Madison Development, Tom Lee and Jim Gallagher would also like to thank you for your time. We tried to set up this presentation. It's a big site, and there's a lot to go over, so we tried to set up this presentation so that we could help assist in how the project affects and pertains to the Rose Hill design guidelines. We also look forward to your feedback and discussion. So when we're walking through the different alternatives, we're trying to cater these to the design guidelines that have a consistent language for your feedback. I'm going to share the presentation tonight. Scott's going to walk through the overall fundamentals of the project and just an overview, and then I'm going to walk through three alternatives for our proposal. So, Scott, you take it away. Thanks.
Thanks, Julia. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, can you hear me all? Okay, great. This is the Rose Hill mixed use project, as Tony mentioned, and the address is 12040 Northeast 45th, although it does take up five separate parcels. Madison Development Group is the applicant, and we're with Hewitt Architects, of course. The Tony mentioned that we have quite a large site. It's just shy of 7 acres. We have 650,000 square feet of residential construction, along with 88,000 square feet of commercial gross square feet, which is looking to be about 75,000 square feet of net commercial. And then the balance of that, depending on each of the three schemes, is roughly 400,000 square feet of parking. Most, if not all of that, is below grade in most of the schemes. The type of construction is wood frame construction for five stories over two to three stories of concrete, again, depending on the scheme that we select. And we have a requirement for some pedestrian pathways, internal and then around the edges of the site, some significant landscape improvements. And we'd like to talk to you about just how deep those landscape improvements are from the property line. We plan to improve sort of a 4-foot landscape buffer and a 8-foot sidewalk, but there's a little bit of variation in the master plan as far as what's allowed or what's required for the sidewalk improvements. So we'd like some help with that tonight if we could. Tony mentioned some of the existing uses, so I'll just go on by that, but we do have a number of parcels involved, the exception being the U-Haul site that Tony mentioned as well. So here we are. The Rose Hill District is separated sort of in thirds. There's the Costco third, the Rose Hill 3 site, and then there's sort of the Rose Hill 5 site there. The two-thirds that are closest to 405 comprise the regional center. And then if you go one street further over to the east to 124th, that's a transit line, and it also demarcates the separation between the neighborhood center portion of Rose Hill. The transit, as I mentioned, is primarily along 124th. There are a number of stops, these blue dots across the street at the corner of 85th and 120th, and then we have some more just on the southeast corner by the coffee stand there at 122nd and 85th, and then further up. And then we have a park and ride across the other side of the Clover Leaf on the west side that about 250 stalls. These are some of the neighbors. U-Haul, of course, stays. Costco is a big neighbor to the west, directly to the west, and we are utilizing half of one of their overflow parking parcels. They've had a decrease in their parking demands recently. And we have some fast food and some office and various other businesses in the neighborhood. This is an interesting graphic here. It shows both the significant trees and the topography. The trees are shown here that are 6 inches in caliper or larger. Those will all, for the most part, be replaced with a 2-to-1 replacement ratio due to the nature of the construction of the site, and we'll be excavating down the entire perimeter of the site for the most part. But more importantly, I think you see the topography that Scott was getting at. The 258-foot datum at the northwest corner and the 308-foot datum at the southeast corner, that's a 50-foot drop from the intersection at 122nd and 85th down to 258. The current context, it looks to be a fairly flat site, but as you get along the edges, you see that we pay for that flatness by some really disconnected sidewalks to the rest of the urban context around the perimeter, and we'd like to address that with some of our schemes tonight. So this was taken right out of the Rose Hill Business District design guidelines, and this was just one of the example master plan diagrams that they had provided. This diagram is probably 8 or 9 years old at this point, but it has some good starting points for thinking about this whole lot and parcel. They'd had some retail over structured parking in the northern part of the site. They'd had some residential over structured parking, and then retail office along the south and into the what's now the Goodwill site. They'd also had the plaza spaces centrally located and some diagonal connections, which we thought were interesting. In this zone, we're required to provide a combined east-west car and pedestrian corridor, and then we're another pedestrian corridor running east-west somewhere around the site. We're looking to really strengthen what's there now on that northern edge with a pedestrian connection. And then there's a requirement for a north-south pedestrian connection as well. And so that's where we took a lot of our guidance from. One thing that we think the master plan may not have addressed fully is the topography, and so we are looking at options where we break the site into two separate building structures, north to south. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that tonight, where we take the ground plane on the southern end at the 278, and there'll be a 276 ground plane at that northern end, but we'd like to drop that ground plane down from a definition standpoint, and really look at taking this 50% use of commercial and supplementing that with some other uses along the north side. This currently complies to the zoning code, but we would, with some help with the DRB tonight, we'd like to get some guidance that encourages residential uses, including entries, amenity spaces, and possibly even units to help maybe screen some of the structured parking or soften some of the edges. So we'll be wanting to discuss that a little bit tonight. And then the 50% is really a zoning issue, but again, that approach to splitting the site into two separate structures is something we'll want to get concurrence with tonight as well. With that, I better let Julia speak to the three design options that we've got.
Thanks. We'd like to start with three figure grounds. We have one called the street, one called the hub and piazza. And really what we're trying to do is we'll go through a series of exhibits for each idea, and we'll try to talk about them as they're relevant to the design guidelines. Topics such as building orientation and location on the site, pedestrian connections, vehicular circulation and service access, residential open space, and then finally, public improvements, most notably the street edges. So those are sort of five kind of categories of design guidelines that we, when we're talking about each one of these things, that helps compare and contrast and evaluate. The first option, what we call the street, that most closely resembles the master plan done by the city of Kirkland. There are some differences, and we'll talk about those, but that one sort of fits that more closely than the other two. The one in the middle is called the hub scheme. That's actually our preferred scheme, and we'll give some reasons why we think that's a positive thing. And then the last one, we call it piazza, because it had a little bit of different attitude about open space, where it was trying to reduce pedestrian connections from the public edges and trying to shorten those as much as possible and have a clear, singular expression about open space on the site. We wanted to start with the street. We in the packet, we had some opportunities and constraints. Some people might see different kinds of opportunities and constraints, but this is a good way to start to analyze them. And as you can see, the street most notably has this east-west connector from 122nd here to 120th there. North is up in all of these figures. That particular connection happens because, as Scott said, we have a 50-foot drop from the high end of the site, which is right here at Northeast 85th Street and 122nd, all the way down to the low end of the site, which is down on 120th, very close to that entry for Costco. So there's a 50-foot diagonal difference there. We think that the site is sometimes seen as somewhat flat because, and I'm sort of making this, because the street edges sort of come up into the high point at 85th, and a lot of the site has since been flattened. But stitching together the public edges with the site is one of the other reasons that we're trying to establish a break. And in this case, the break happens at this very straight east-west connector. Now, we come in at 268 here. And that's essentially where the plaza level is. There's this main street, which we want to make the most identifiable, meaningful vehicular and pedestrian organizing element of the site. There's a series of secondary pedestrian connections to meet the requirements of the master plan, north and south and east and west. But that's in this particular scheme is to have this be the main central concept. It has a secondary plaza that fronts three different commercial spaces. We have grocery at the very south end on 85th, and that grocery would have double height spaces that would engage 85th, as well as a pharmacy on the east end of the site would have a double height space. We've been calling sort of the retail periscopes, or the snorkel is another concept, to give them identity, but to have the actual ground level be down very close to the level as you slope down the site where vehicles would enter right here. And so there would be a little bit of surface parking here, but most of the parking is either below grade, and we'll show you in plan where you enter that, or in this particular option have two structured parking parking garages with residential above those. There's a grade difference if you're having a straight street cut straight along. You can kind of see it here where it slopes down. It's about an 18-foot difference over the site. So you come in flat, you get past all of the energy of the commercial outdoor area to the south and to the north. This would be considered more residential, sort of oriented plaza area, and then it drops off. Commercial frontage on 122nd right there. Okay, here you can see in plan, there's 278. Here's the south end of the site, 85th. Here's 120th, straight street. You could come in and loop around, exit, and this would be all categorized as an outdoor plaza for commercial uses. This could be this would be structured parking. It would have to be pedestrian friendly, screened, and landscaped. We have an illustrative site plan to suggest some ideas for that. And then that slope would happen somewhere along here. We'll have some street elevations in one of the options to show how that street frontage works with commercial. The residential buildings above, when we talk about building location and orientation here, there's a setback off of 85th to give more prominence to the grocery. That would be double height along here. This is about, I think, 75 feet here to perhaps 10 feet setback for residential, but it's the short ends of the buildings that meet the public edge. So there's a lot of modulation in between the main east-west connector of this street and then what would be above the structured parking here, a residential outdoor space. The longest end we have is a little bit over 200 feet here. We would modulate this end of this residential building along 122nd. So the building orientation setbacks, we think, from the street is part of the solution. Main pedestrian connection here. And then the vehicle entries. In the illustrative plan, we'll show you this too, garage loading for the grocery store would happen in this corner. Here's some of the sections. Here you see section one cuts through the site here. And this is section one. There's two levels of low-grade parking on the north end of the site, north of that street. This is where we have structured parking, and this is some of through the direction of the board. Perhaps there's a way to screen that structured parking with residential in that area. One thing to notice here when we start comparing other options is we're proposing, because we have structured parking above, we're doing two levels of parking below. We want apples to apples comparisons between our alternatives. We have to meet, if we're having 600 to 650 units plus the 88,000 for commercial space, zoning code requires us to have a certain amount of parking. So the parking containers for all three have to be the same. This one has one above, and we're a little bit less in the ground on that north end where the Costco crosswalk and surface lot is. Here you can see that grocery periscope on 85th, really tall space, and then the grocery, pharmacy, and commercial area fronting that plaza off of the street internal to the site has that sort of size and scale to it. Here is the height along 85th. It's 45 feet from the midpoint of the frontage, and it comes along the site here. The zoning height for residential above can go up to 67, and so on the north end of the site, we're proposing five levels of residential above the structured parking. This is just a diagram of the plates. This boundary right here is the boundary of the site. That, again, is a high point, and then 50 feet down is a low point. The areas here, all of the gray areas and all of these kinds of diagram, it's shaded gray to suggest that those are all below grade. And then the two red rectangles here are all above grade. So if you go back here just real quickly, it just shows those two above grade structures like that. So you see them there. And that's consistent in all of our plans. Again, there's a little bit of surface parking along the commercial plaza, but it's not significant to the total amount of parking that we're talking about. Illustrative site plan, as I said, there's a loading dock for the grocery store, so the truck could come in before it gets that slope down to 120th. It would back into the bays here, and then it would exit back out on 122nd. If you're a car, cars can come in from all over the place, but a lot of times you can come in, maybe find one of those really great spots in front of the store that you have to run into, or you can loop around and go into a garage below grade under the commercial spot here, or continue along and there's entries for the pharmacy here and here. It's really kind of, it's a little hard to see, and maybe in your booklet and even harder on the screen right here, but there's a little bit of curb cut there, a little bit of curb cut here. And then also along the back, there's pedestrian sidewalks along a street here that would give you access into structured parking from the north end of the site. A second scheme is called the hub scheme. So one of the things about the hub scheme is what Scott had mentioned too about one of the differences between the master plan that the city of Kirkland did, which has some pretty nice things about it, but what we thought one element was missing, and there's a really big opportunity, is the topography. And so when we were visiting the site, you know, we noticed this sort of Mercury coffee espresso place that's just to the east of 122nd, and it's sort of this drive-through with this really tall piece, and it was kind of this quirky thing, but it really had a little bit of wisdom in it, in that when we were in the site, you really do want to be standing at the high point of the site, and you kind of want to look down, you know, across the site to the low point. You know, it gets a little bit more, there's wetland, and it's a little less populated and dense in that area, and it has more of a sort of a pleasant view to it. And so we thought, is there a way to take the pedestrian connections and the topography of the site and knit those together as a clear idea that these buildings would all organize themselves around to give a variety of outdoor spaces of size and scale and character. Some would be more commercial, some would be residential. And you could have this more meandering pathway across the site. The other notable thing is the east-west connector here is canted. It's perpendicular to that diagonal line, which was introduced in the city of Kirkland's master plan to provide some visibility and prominence to those retail periscopes at the corner of 85th and 122nd. And so we think, you know, playing on that and topography was interesting. But this really has to do about mitigating that height difference. With the straight street in the previous example, we were 18 feet different from coming in here at grade down to here. This reduces that down to more like 10 or 12 feet. But it's also offsetting, I'll sort of start to talk about this. It's offsetting, it's trying to offset itself from the Costco entry and then align itself with other curb cuts across the street. So we either have to be aligned with a curb cut opposite of the street or like 100 feet away from it. And so this is aligning it, so it helps us to have safety of exiting and entering the street and being aligned with those curb cuts, and also reduces the height of what that little slope was happening from 18 feet down to 12. So we think
the Mercury Coffee, which is right here in this corner, had a little bit of wisdom of if there seems to be something of virtue of coming down the site diagonally that way and having those buildings organizing themselves around it. In the plan, here we go, 278, and then down to, if I'm reading this correctly, a little far for me right now, it's 266. I thought it was like it's around 12 feet or so. The plaza, you would come down approximately 30 feet, so there's all kinds of opportunities of how we can do that. We're showing stairs and an elevator. Grocery store is right here, and it would have that double height visible connection to 85th again. And then the dashed line you can see, obviously, is the residential building above. And following this geometry, it sets back from 85th quite a bit, but then gives you this interesting angle view of the residential units. And the units here would be sort of looking downhill. These would all be looking downhill. And the short ends of all of these buildings would help shape the spaces around it. Much like the option before, primarily to the south of this red dashed line, this is commercial. We're concentrating the commercial here. We have this on, we're activating both sides in this case, in this scheme, and then it's residential here. There's, unlike the first scheme, there's not structured parking of what we've been calling at the plaza level. So this is the high point. You come down 30 feet, and then another 2 feet or so to 276, and then we think there's a number of different ways to give some variety and to the street experience by developing a landscape access to the 256 here, more towards the low point of the site. So we have residential character. It has this relationship residential and commercial, then purely commercial up to 85th. Building orientation and location, we have six residential buildings above the commercial areas. The previous scheme and the scheme that we'll be talking about next had five. So all in all, the amount of area for commercial stays the same, but for residential, the amount of area is divided up into essentially smaller buildings, which we think is a good thing. Here you can see the two section cuts that we showed before. Here's section one through the north end of the site. Three levels of parking below grade. Commercial and then residential and plaza activating that level of the project. We're keeping the apples to apples comparison of number of parking by going down one more level for this scheme, P3. That would be on this north end rather than the structured parking at the plaza level. There you can see that grocery periscope on northeast 85th. Same zoning, same rules are applied. We apply to this as we did the previous scheme. So because this is our preferred scheme, we wanted to walk through some section cuts. So this has to do with sort of the design guideline of public improvements at the street edge. Here we see detail section one, which happens right here. So it's along 120th. It's just north of that major east-west connection that sort of takes this jog at the plaza. And we're proposing at the property line a 20-foot landscape setback to assist softening the street and the pedestrian way, which is with a 4-foot planting strip and an 8-foot sidewalk from structured parking, plaza level dashed line, of course, and then five levels of residential above it. Section two, which is further down the street, this is where that stair occurs. So the stair that would take you up into this L-shape, more residential, public-private connector to the more commercial outdoor area happens in this location. We're proposing a broader setback, 28 feet, and then the same 8-foot sidewalk, 4-foot planting strip to help soften this edge. Section three, just sort of going up the site here. We have commercial that is at the plaza level. Since the street is coming up in this location, we're proposing a 20-foot setback, same 12-foot 8-foot sidewalk, 4-foot planting strip. The commercial is slightly higher than grade here. It's activating the plaza, and it's landscape and softening 120th with the below grade parking just having a little bit of screening. Now, this section sort of cuts through 122nd and all the way through the plaza. So this V4 right here actually kind of comes all the way through here. So the plaza area is right there, setback and terraces for residential above, activating it with commercial spaces, in this case the pharmacy, and how we do that is what will be determined as we move forward. And then the planting strip here with sidewalk and street trees. So we have a little bit of visibility of commercial area, but its grade is a little bit lower at this section of the street as you get up to that 50-foot grade difference. And here are just different options that we have in this case, this is at 85th. So just again, D6, just to show what that periscope's doing for giving visibility to the grocery that wants to activate the plaza, but then also be very visible along 85th and engage it in a meaningful way. And we have a second option here, so 16-foot setback, property line, and then some ramping and stair zone, which be able to sort of mitigate the difference between the existing grades out of the property line and softening the drop to the plaza. Here you can see a cut lengthways through that diagonal connector. Coming down from 85th, the grocery periscope, and then how do we activate and develop that edge? We would, of course, have elevator and make accessible. There's structured parking, grocery that's sort of tucked into the hillside, but then activate it and visible from the plaza that's internal to the site, which is right there. The elevation. So on 120th, this is where we have the structured parking with the 28-foot landscaping area. One of these things that's triggering this is not is the sort of a strict interpretation of the code is to have residential uses above the ground floor. And through our calculations of the north structure, that the ground floor would be up here by measuring it because 122nd is higher than 120th, it's sort of pulling things up relative to 120th. This could be activated with residential uses and walk-up. We are showing that stair going into that public-private outdoor space between the residential buildings that connects the north end of the diagonal. We think that could be a prominent feature, adding variety to that street experience. And then on the very south end is the commercial area here, which is a little bit higher than grade, but would have some visibility of trying to, it's higher than grade because it's meeting the plaza level, but it would still have some visibility with the existing grade out of the street. And then here you can see this is an elevation along 122nd to the east. So this is looking at the main street, the grocery periscope, which have a number of different forms to it and shapes. And then stepping down, we would have commercial on both the south and the north side along 122nd. Just a quick diagram. Again, no red outlines for this, so everything would be structured parking. There would be some surface parking to activate both for pedestrians and vehicles and along the plaza. We can see that in the illustrative design site plan here. You can see some surface parking here. Loading is in the same position. There's entries into the garage below in this location, not too unlike the other alternative schemes that we showed. And then, of course, this road that sort of separates the north office building and its surface parking lot, and then Costco's surface parking lot also to the north. And then that main concept that all the buildings sort of gravitate towards is one word that we've been describing it in-house. And then the last scheme is Piazza, that singular expression of buildings forming an outdoor space. And I think one of the things when we do a comparison at the end is what the attitudes are of what shapes the buildings and what shapes the outdoor space. In this case, the singular expression is this, you know, idealized form. This is about 300 feet by 200 feet. So lots of things that you can do with something that's that big. we have an east-west connector that cants in the other direction. Here you can see it right there. Comes in at 268, and we have this plaza right here. Sorry, it's at 276, and that's sort of 276. So this is all one level. The other schemes had 30-foot difference, and then this was at 278, it dropped down 2 feet. This is all same height, and then a slight slope again to kind of make up the difference between 120th and 102nd. The other thing to note here is the building shaping this outdoor space. We have the commercial uses gravitating to the north and along 120th. We have commercial uses on the west side of the site rather than the east side of the site, north of that east-west connector. And we have five residential buildings. The setbacks on 85th are acting in a similar manner as the other schemes, but we have one sort of winding residential building shifted to the north in this option. Here you can see some of the entry points for vehicles. There's the loading dock, below grade entries in these locations here and here. Primarily residential character outdoor space, primarily commercial character outdoor space, but unified in just clean, straight edges forming that, what we've been calling the piazza. There is bridging over one area. You can see that right there. So that's the long residential building that wraps the north end of that site, caps the end of the, and the plaza does have the relief of having that opening cut through to the north end. And here you can see a section of it. And again, this would be three levels of below-grade parking like the hub option. Therefore, we would not be proposing structured parking in this alternative as well. And there's the illustrative design plan. Pharmacy, grocery, and commercial sort of wrapping that south end of the site in this location. And two sort of general long buildings are, so there's more commercial area here, sort of more center of gravity for viable commercial. The hub was a little bit smaller, it was more like 15,000 square feet on this end, but the sort of this street edge has that same bigger setback to allow for more relief along 120th and maybe some of the other schemes. And then the comparison. So when we looked at all the comparisons, what we hope to try to achieve is a major factor that all of the schemes, Alt Street, the Hub, and Piazza, are informing outdoor spaces relative to the site, rather than a series of buildings that have complementary landscape surrounding it. And so we think our preferred scheme, the Hub, takes best advantage of some of the opportunities of the site, most notably topography, and locates the buildings and orients them in the site that is working with the topography. It reduces the scale of these buildings by having six structures above the plaza area and gives a lot of porosity to both 120th and 122nd Avenue. The setbacks are appropriate for 85th Street for residential, giving some visibility in a way and allowing some setbacks for the grocery to also be visibility. So with that, we hope that sort of looking at the design guidelines of building site and location, pedestrian access in east-west and north-south is addressed. Vehicular circulation, which is also through here, and zoning unloading, as well as you enter the low-grade parking. The residential outdoor space, another factor of the design guidelines, so the primary has a series of residential outdoor spaces that I think work with a number of variety of experiences through the site. And then all the street sections and elevations that deal with the public improvements that we think are appropriate for the existing street conditions. So with that, that concludes our part of the presentation.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Questions for the applicant?
Can you briefly go over the U-Haul easement that was mentioned? I think I see it where the property line is real close to the east edge of U-Haul, but you're giving them that access point, and anything on 120th is cut off now for U-Haul?
So they're going to continue to use 120th, and their current access off of 85th is what they're using now, and they're going to continue to use that going forward.
But that's not their property, correct?
There's a easement agreement as part of the purchases and sale agreement, as I understand it. But Tom may be able to speak to that. But it's part of the deal is that U-Haul gets to maintain the access that they currently use.
On 85th, but how about on 120th?
I believe that's also the case, yeah.
Even, I mean, yeah. We're showing all the diagrams show trees.
Yeah, I think there's actually a curb cut or two off of 120th as well.
Okay.
So is the way U-Haul is I shouldn't say treated, but it has no other connections to the site or anything like that other than just the access easement, and that's it. There's
no throughway connection between like U-Haul or okay. Correct. Because of the grade differences, it's
right. It'll still be yeah. It'll still be perched up that's where great. It is.
So let me just be sure I understand. There are no curb cuts except for one on 122nd and one on 120th, correct? Not to the north. The road doesn't go through. It's just pedestrian access.
So that's a great question. We're looking at a couple different options there. We're required to have a emergency access loop around the north side of the site for fire department access and so forth. But you can barely see some indications of bollards right there that we're looking at maybe paving that in a different way and making that less accessible and routing the residential access to the, I guess that's the northeast, and then allowing commercial customer access all around the site. But we'd be encouraging residential access from 122nd.
Okay. And then it looks like you have a significant amount of parking in the piazza design that would be right in there.
So that's meant to be flexible space. Julia mentioned that's roughly the size of a football field.
Yeah.
And so with strategic paving and placement, I think we could create parking for weekend use. And depending on how that use changes over time, they may elect to have events or different types of activities there. However, I understand that there are other places for farmers markets and so forth in town already, and we wouldn't want to compete with that.
Okay, and one question, last question is, did I read in the zoning that there is currently no residential use allowed at the ground level?
That's
correct. But you're asking us to consider that, right?
Well, I think that's... We're going to have to kind of interpret how ground level, what is the ground level? So the DRB thoughts about it as it relates to the design is going to be helpful in that. But
okay.
As was noted earlier, it's like when the code was written and some of the conceptual things were drawn, it wasn't fully recognizing that 50-foot grade differential.
Right. Okay.
So I think what we've been working with the applicant on is interpreting exactly what is the ground floor. So what do we want to retail in the space versus where is it okay for a residential to land on the ground?
So there's some flexibility there, depending upon how we...
Yes, I don't think it makes sense that every building pad has to have, regardless of its relationship to the grade, has to land with a retail presence. So that's what we're going to try to figure out.
Okay. I was kind of thinking that same question, too, because I wasn't sure if the parking... the structured parking sticking up out of the ground, so to speak, up, one level. They're saying, oh, well, that's now residential, not at grade, so that was a way around it or not. So that's
right. That's, I think, what the applicant alluded to. If we have time to get to that conversation tonight, that the parking's okay at the ground level, but residential isn't necessarily okay. So is that, do you resort to parking being the street level presence because you can't have residential, or does it make sense to try to make that a more attractive frontage?
I think in our deliberations, that's a fair question to ask, to say where this is one of the few times where we have maybe more explicit discretion than in looking at past zoning regulations. So something we'll have to discuss then. I had a question along the north end of the project. So that's, sorry, that in all three, there's a that's an actual road that's meant for emergency access and for accessing parking?
Yes, that's correct. We're required to have emergency vehicle access towards the north there, although we see some opportunities to access the northern below-grade parking from directly north or from the northeast.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I guess my question was going to be then, because along that north, is part of that, too, the pedestrian right-of-way through there, which currently runs east-west through there?
That's correct. We've got some opportunities for pedestrian pathways along the east-west, along the north tip of the site. We've also identified some opportunities potentially here, but we've not pursued those as of yet. But we're defining our east-west pedestrian connections as the center combined roadway, pedestrian sidewalks, and then the pathway along the top.
So will the pathway be on the north side of the road, or do you know yet?
Too early to tell. I would imagine, too early to tell. I would imagine we would actually end up widening it as we get past the vehicle access points and then narrowing it either on the north side or the south side as we get to where we have vehicle crossings.
So how far are the buildings set back from the property line on the north to accommodate that?
Another good question. That's a 24-foot. It's a 24-foot roadway plus another, say, 12 to 16 feet. So it's 32 feet. Thank you.
Squint the graphic scale on the lower.
There it is. Yeah.
And the north building from the top down to the ground, what's that total height? Pretty high at that point.
Yeah, we've got some sections that show that.
Sure.
Yeah, and a little bit on height. It is a good question about the height. We've got this frontage here that sets us 45 feet above 85th, and that's this line here. And we also have an opportunity to, when we face three major arterials, as this site does, we can select an arterial that we take our measurements from. And so we can take 120th or 122nd or 85th once we get past to the north end of the site. And that north end of the site language comes directly out of the master plan for the Rose Hill Business District. And unfortunately, they don't decide how far north that is, but they just say towards the north you can go 67 feet. So, but the long and short of it is, if we have a 45-foot height limit, but we're able to go to 67 feet when we have housing included. And so using the average building elevation measurement, we will be roughly in the same location whether we take the measurement off of 85th or 122nd, we're about a 4 to 6 foot delta, and it ends up being roughly about the same height. So the question, we spent a lot of time analyzing that, and when we finally came to the conclusion, it wasn't a deal breaker either way.
But you've got, that's a height above average building elevation, and then you've got, see, I'm concerned about the property
to the north.
To the north.
Correct.
And what they're looking at.
Right.
And they're not just looking at 67 feet.
Right. And that is really a function of this 50-foot delta north to south across the site. And so you can imagine 45 feet from the high side with another 50 feet ends up being 95 feet. So it's we're actually much less than that, but it is still a pretty significant delta.
The Piazza Road, cross road through the middle, there must be quite a change in elevation.
Yeah, so Julia mentioned that the optimal condition is to actually jog south from east to west, and even that's about a 12-foot delta between the two sides. And we're really utilizing that last third of the road to make up that delta so that we can keep things relatively flat in the middle. That hub scheme also has the added benefit that it lines up with the Costco access road on the other side of the street. We're allowed to align roads directly across from one another, or we have to offset them 100 feet, which is why we're offsetting the other two schemes to the north 100 feet.
And on that subject, I know it's a little early in the process. Is there a notion that new intersection gets signalized, or kind of a staff question as well?
We just got our traffic study Friday, and we have some mitigation fees that I can share with you, or we can discuss later. But we're anticipating mitigating three of the intersections
with new signals.
I'm not sure if we would contribute to a signal upgrade with a fee or if we would actually do the replacement, but there's about $1.1 million allocated for signal upgrades.
So in the hub configuration in particular, along 85th, can you walk along the sidewalk and get down to the grocery? How does that work? I mean, it's pretty complicated. Very interesting.
I'm sorry, one more time on the question.
How does a pedestrian access the grocery off 85th?
Off of 85th. So there's a public elevator tucked into the facade of the grocery store here. There's a lobby that serves both residential at the high side and then serves the grocery store at the low side, and there is a stairway for.
So you have to go through that where the little arrow is.
Correct. You would go through
the main level is below, and even the next level is still below 85th.
Yes. Sorry. Right.
Thank you.
And I think we have a section of that. That's this guy right here. So this is cutting right from the corner at 85th, and it's running diagonally down through that plaza. And you see there's a sort of a shallow grade, and then we have a public elevator, we have stairs, and then we have the residential lobby up at the high side and the grocery entry on the low side.
But from the corner of 85th there where it says grocery, there's no access at grade there.
There's internal access and a stair to the grocery from the high side, but we're seeing that as more of a secondary entry and more of a, we've been calling this whole element that runs along 85th a periscope element. It's providing signage, it's providing clear story light down to the grocery store and some connections into the plaza or the landscape terrace for the residential units.
So will the majority of the grocery actually be underground?
The majority of the grocery is tucked into that grade, correct. It's sort of a daylight basement arrangement. And that's currently how the site sits now. There's sort of a steep drop off into the what's now the Outback Steakhouse.
The flashing pedestrian crossing there for Costco stays, I assume. The diagram there sort of indicates that there's more than just there's no vehicle access at that point. I mean, there's a gap in the trees or something.
So
it's diagrammed right
so there. The access to Costco currently is here, and
it stays
there, correct.
So the pedestrian crossing stays in its location. So the overflow parking gets cut in half, but there still will be a substantial pedestrian with carts, you know, coming across the back access road on the sidewalk to get to the pedestrian crossing, or does it move?
I think we're open to relocating that curb bulb if we need to. It's a question that came up during early design discussions. We think actually as we start walking through there, the pedestrian pathway does sort of lend itself to this location, but we'd be open, yeah. And some of that has to do with this curb cut here and whether that remains or therefore able to utilize the north half of the Costco access. This is a little bit of striping and curbing. It could probably be reconfigured to allow an access from the existing curb cuts further to the north.
Because here's where you're talking about having access to the structured parking as well on the north end of the site, right? There at off 120th.
That's correct. That's correct.
How are you going to deal with? I mean, I'm just looking at all the designs. It seems so abrupt where you meet U-Haul.
This wall right here is going to be important to pay some attention to architecturally, as is this wall. And I think once we get above the sort of the store level, it'll be your typical apartment sort of treatment. But that first, I don't know, 15 feet or so, we'll want to pay attention to that for sure.
So will it just be the same slope down?
Well, we have a terrace that steps back sort of at this.
Your U-Haul, curb cut going into the site.
Oh, I see. No, this is actually at a different level. Than this is much lower than this level here. Uh-huh. This is higher up. Yeah.
Will you be actually increasing or just not touching?
We're not touching it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this is essentially a retaining wall that disguises some of that loading dock, and then above it, there's about a 15-foot. High grocery store wall.
Is that loading dock covered, or is that actually open?
It'll be covered.
If you were standing in a U-Haul, you'd look down on top of.
It'll be covered by the building above.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So it's fairly well hidden.
I got you.
Yeah.
The obvious question, and I know the answer, is U-Haul just would not sell. I mean, the price.
Long term.
Correct. I'm getting some head nods.
Is the original master plan presumed that U-Haul was not there, diagrammatically and all that, but obviously it still is. And in terms of a gateway feature, it's a propane tank and a bunch of stuff at odd angles. And
the new residents will love having the U-Haul right there.
They will. Yeah, that's true.
It helps them move in.
They move out
scheme,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Be a boon for U-Haul.
Will any environmental building standards be used other than normal here?
As far as like LEED certification, things like that?
Yeah.
Undetermined at this point.
Go ahead, Susan.
Yes, I have a few questions. Maybe first for Jeremy and Tony. In the Rose Hill master plan guidelines, I'm not sure exactly what it's called, but is there any specific language about 85th and the nature of 85th and trying to establish a pedestrian experience along 85th? And I guess that leads into my...
Let them ponder that one.
Yeah.
It does say that on the front line, which does talk about vehicles and pedestrians.
Yeah. So I'm really missing that elevation of the south facade there.
I think these sections are probably the most telling because it's giving you, I think it's asking you a question about that relationship somewhat,
exactly.
Whether it's top below grade, but the issue of direct pedestrian access is left somewhat open in the special regulations. where is that one yet?
I didn't really see an answer to my question there.
Where's the special regulation? Or is that general?
So I guess while you guys look, so obviously this is a groundbreaking project, yeah. And it's going to establish patterns for the future. So thinking about that and what this means.
Yeah.
Most of my questions are focusing on the hub scheme. So one, is the diagonal access intended to be public from southeast to northwest all the way through? Or when it hits the residential zone, is it partitioned off in some way?
Still early, but we were thinking that the shape of these L shapes here, that there could be some security, you know, that's more primarily residential in these areas here, and then public through it on the other side. Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting that you've chosen it from looking at the elevations. It looks like 122nd actually has ground-related residential and retail that are at grade along that sidewalk, whereas 120th, there's screened
half-height
parking.
Ground plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if we go back to these two elevations,
right.
The pharmacy really is meant to kind of walk us down the hill on 122nd side. And that coupled with sort of the grocery store plaza, the upper plaza of the corner of 85th, does sort of soften that edge. This corner here is really, it's retail, but we have been discussing tenant amenity spaces or other types of uses that would be compatible. One of the questions we had in the land use code was there was this line on sort of note 7 of the Rose Hill 3 district that talked about residential uses being allowed above the ground floor. And I think what it really implies is commercial uses may not be, but residential are. What I think it's telling us is residential uses are allowed both at grade and at above the ground floor, but it's not worded that way. And depending on where you put the emphasis, we were just wanting some confirmation of that. So that's why we went to some lengths with some diagrams and some illustrations here to kind of indicate what one interpretation of that sentence means and what another interpretation might mean. So.
And also establishing what the ground plane is.
Yeah,
right. You want to go to
right.
That diagram.
Yeah, exactly.
I get that. And
yeah.
So back to 85th then.
Sure. Sorry.
Well, it's okay. Why is there not a street front use? Why do we have a berm that drops us about 10 feet to that periscope?
The character of 85th is fairly busy, and it's fairly loud. And actually, if we could go back one more. This is actually an illustration of both the periscope, as we've been calling it, but also some sidewalk options that Jeff and our landscape group has been looking at. We have this beautiful sidewalk that we've just put in. It's brand new. It's out there right now today. And it's got a nice landscape buffer. But as we transition, there's a little bit of a grade from like 298 to 308 there. And so there's a question in our minds whether we want to create a nice sunny plaza out front of this periscope element and create a space where people could hang out, maybe have a deli sandwich or something, or wait for someone as they're shopping. And if we do that, do we get some additional space by pushing that landscape, enlarging that landscape element that's right against this busy traffic? And what that means is it means jogging the sidewalk into inboard into the site, and putting our landscape sort of between 85th and our plaza. Another approach is to split it and just leave the sidewalk the way it is. It's a fairly good sidewalk and landscape strip, as I said. And then adding another one between another sort of strip of landscaping. And what that does is it allows us to sort of scissor those two walkway paths with some transitional landscaping as we make the grade change from flat to stepped. And so that was sort of another focus of this diagram, was to show what that edge is doing. It's a pretty complicated edge when you start looking at it with comparing it to the traffic. And to get the maximum use out of it, we keep wanting to kind of push that facade back a little bit and capture some of that sun and sort of activate that transparent uses into the residential terrace as well as down into the store and also just use that as a light well to bring light into the back of the store.
Great. Is there a reason, though, why there's not a commercial edge?
Oh, we don't think it's going to be viable. Yeah, it's the main anchor tenant is this grocery store. We looked hard at having that grocery store on the upper level, and the more we sort of detached it from grade and the other commercial uses around the site, the less it seemed like it was going to be a viable store with active parking. And because we really are turning this sort of retail part of the development inward into this plaza element, and all schemes are doing that. And we're wanting to activate the sort of the center of that courtyard for parking and for vehicle access, while still having a sidewalk presence that attracts folks both in cars and on foot that'll be coming from the bus stop and whatnot to sort of come into that hub.
And then alternatively, if we put a smaller, say, 15,000 square foot speculative retail, who knows what it might be doing, it would be orphaned from the critical mass of right. the other retail around the plaza. Right. So it's more worried about the viability yeah. of it as well.
Right, and I understand that. I think at the same time, like I said, this is establishing a precedent for further development in this area, and it's very inward focused, right? And so in many ways, it's still establishing that suburban pattern of, you know, it's busy cars all around, so we've got to turn our back to that. And yet, so when U-Haul's, and this is more about deliberation, but when U-Haul's developed, that's at that high level, and so that becomes an orphan because I understand it's difficult, right, to be the first one. So I was just more curious why we didn't make that choice.
I wonder, in your concept where you're showing umbrellas and things out on 85th, is it viable for the grocery to have a mezzanine level that would service an 85th Street presence?
It's an interesting question. It really does help to sort of provide a kind of an urban backstop for the sidewalk and a vertical element. It also is providing a little bit of acoustic privacy for the residential terrace, and it's doing a lot of things simultaneously, while still sort of providing a graphic presence to the roadway on 85th. But by the more we can kind of sink this down and sculpt the land here, that I think the more acoustical and visual privacy we create, which gives us this opportunity for people to linger and some sun and activation of that space, true activation of the space.
I know.
I've got just a couple of quick questions. On that hub scheme, out in the sort of the plaza part of it, there are, looks like a little standalone sort of amoeba-shaped thing. Is that just a standalone little commercial space?
It's a concept to have a focal point, yeah.
Okay. And then further toward the residential, there's a square, an X with a square in it. Is that another little kiosk-y kind of a thing? It's not on this diagram, but it's on the
you're looking at the other
the
plan.
Rendered.
So this was
a big campanile? Yeah.
It's just sort of marking the difference between the residential outdoor space here. So would not be a retail kiosk. This would be retail. This would be a site feature that separates residential with commercial on the other side.
But it's not a big kind of clock towery sort of thing that says you're here?
It's more of a low pavilion type of amenity, yeah.
I see what looks like little umbrella tables at the base of it, little orange things or whatever those, or there's that planting, I guess.
Correct. That could be flexible seating.
Okay.
Those spaces are meant to be flexible depending on the time of the year and
sure.
sort of what events are happening.
Okay. That's all I've got, Nolan.
And here it talks about rooftop terraces and gardens and public access. Can you say a few words about the ideas or what?
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, as we were discussing, the sort of connector here would have ability for public access. Some of these might just be residential only. Some of it might be public. There's opportunity for, I think you can see it on one of the sections here. Sorry, let me go back. Here that there would be, sorry, not the right section, right?
So
these would be more residential terraces that steps down to commercial along the plaza, activates the plaza in a number of different ways.
I thought I had picked up rooftop terraces and gardens or something. Maybe that wasn't right.
Yeah, we haven't really determined what would be the rooftop amenities right now for residents, but they would just be for residents, if anything.
Okay.
Can you go to your page? I guess it's 19, or is it? I don't know if it's our 19 or your 27. No, it must be your 27 then.
Yeah, we've moved a couple of things around. Oh, what does it look like?
Well, it's the axonometric with all the blow apart.
I think it might be 18 in your presentation.
I've got the wrong. That one right there.
Yep.
So Susan's question, so on 85th, there's that blue, is that the, up on top, right there on 85th, is that the it's kind of the periscope and then the fronting glass enclosed thing that sort of says we're shielding the residential courtyard that's directly behind it from 85th?
Yes.
Because they're almost at the same level. I mean, that residential courtyard was pretty dang close to the 85th Street level.
Yes, I mean, the height of the periscope and shape, you know, is still to be determined, but essentially, yes.
Okay. So anything that's gray there is kind of the residential courtyard, so that west end of the L shape looks right down into U-Haul?
In effect, but we haven't really developed those spaces.
Okay.
Level one, above level one.
Okay.
I was gonna dogpile on or just tag on to that question too. Then is because it looks very long and narrow. I mean, we're talking about if there'd be a deli or a cafe or whatever in there. But I mean, even if you put in, it seems like real long, very narrow. Kind of, is it really meant to be more just a visual aid to the? To the grocery store is store frontage, or what's the
most
thought
of that,
kind of at the end?
Most of that bar is going to be two-story space to below. It's going to be a clear story, so it's just high light coming down into the space. And we see some floor elements coming across and capturing, bridges.
But there is, at the very corner, the intersection 85th and 122nd,
right.
Where that stair
we saw
is.
That,
right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That helped explain to me a little better. Thanks.
I think just one last thing then for applicant is, what are we being asked, I guess, and maybe for staff, what are you guys asking to do that's beyond the base code outlines or guidelines, the ROSO guidelines, and what are you suggesting the trade-offs are for them? So, for example, residential to grade is
right,
one thing.
The first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we giving extra height for public amenity?
No.
Okay. Is there anything else that?
Anything else? We have the two topics. That was one, establishing ground floor.
And then the confirming that the ground floor or the ground level can split north to south across the site, allowing us to count ground floor uses, whether they be structured parking, which is allowed, or whether they be commercial uses, which are allowed as part of that 50% development. The 50% development needs to be commercial, but other uses are allowed. And if we are able to step that ground floor, it assists us in sort of softening those edges, and that's what we're asking for.
The public edges.
The public edges, yeah.
Is that design review or is that zoning?
It's more of a staff question. I guess the one element would be similar to like downtown, where we have a ground floor retail requirement, and we have allowed applicants to do some elements of residential on that ground floor. That's another piece that could, there's some discretion on, and some guidance will be from you guys.
The other, it's somewhat of a trade-off is with the master plan, you're asked, the DRB's asked to establish the setbacks, which is kind of one of the key questions tonight. So part of that relationship is, well, what, why do you need a setback or why don't you need a setback, and how much setback do you need?
Oh, right. If we could clearly define, let me see if I can find it here, these edges here, just for our own sake going forward, we're providing a 20-foot landscape setback on 120th and then 16 feet on 85th and 122nd. And that would just help us sort of identify where that zone is. We've got 80% lot coverage. We've got some other overlaying issues that we're going to be dealing with. But if we could sort of set some minimums, the one thing the master plan did not do terribly well was set minimum sidewalk improvement widths. And so that's left to the discretion of the DRB. And so we've presented some today that we think are reasonable, and they're not they're going to help us hit all of our other requirements, including.
And what is 85th?
So we've got a 16-foot landscape
16, right.
buffer, and then we've got the sidewalk and the right. curb 16. Buffer. Yeah,
can you point out specifically the setback from property line to building face?
So the property line is here.
Thank you.
And then the setback is here. And then if we go up to 120th, property line is here. And that setback, that landscape setback is here. And then actually you see that here on 122nd too. You see that's property line at 16 feet instead of 20. So some confirmation on that or discussion on that would be welcome. This one is a little bit odd in that it's taken right at the stair inset. So it's actually 20 feet the whole length of the street that we're asking for. This just happens to be a recess.
Between the two residential buildings.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this section's cut at the gap.
Any other questions for the applicant, or we're all good? All right. Thank you. Before we start our deliberations, I'll ask if there's any public comment. Seeing none, I think we can start our deliberations. And I don't know if it would be better to. I mean, this is just a conceptual conference, but there's a lot of different items we have to touch on. I don't know if we need to make a kind of a summary list and go through and make sure we talk about or give guidance on each of these topics, from setbacks to options that have been presented. And Tony, is there anything that makes your job easier? Do you have any sort of list of items you want to make sure we address tonight?
No, I think obviously the setbacks is the biggest thing to talk about, and then if we agree with one of their concepts and want them to move forward with that, then just what we need from them for as far as application materials, what we want to see those.
So just I think if you start big picture, is there which option is the best for the applicant to move
really
forward
really
with? Really talk about the site access, vehicular first, pedestrian access. The grade transitions are all part of that. So that kind of big picture guidance, I think, helps them and staff move forward to the design response conference.
Sure. Okay. Well, having said all that, then I'll open up to whoever wants to start.
I'll say that I think the hub configuration is just fine. It's interesting and intriguing, and it has some advantages, it's less mass on the north, the way it's configured. And I'm concerned about that because the properties on the north are going to be looking at a fairly substantial rise. So we have sort of a responsibility to look at the overall how projects fit in the neighborhood. So throw that out.
I would probably say, too, I agree with the, you know, as a starting point, the hub design. You know, because I went, not pertaining to this, but happened to go to that parking lot this weekend and was talking, you know, just trying to envision, you know, in my mind, and visualize how do they make that challenge, you know, how they successfully address that very severe slope through that, through the whole property. And the kind of this, to me, it's almost like it's oriented kind of the northwest, down northwest, south, east, however you want to think of it. It's, I think, is kind of an elegant way of approaching it. I do what I think some people maybe had kind of highlighted, that it is very, even with that more natural feel and flow to the layout, you know, it is still very inwardly focused. And are we setting, one, a precedent, and two, missing an opportunity to make something that's more engaging along what is a major arterial road in Kirkland. So, especially in an area that's going to start to see, you know, this is the first domino maybe, or maybe it's the second one at this point, I don't know. But, you know, there'll be many more to follow that will be looking to this as kind of the starting point maybe in some ways.
Well, I'm not sure that I think that facing, you know, having an inward focus is a bad thing. And given that it's this arterial, which isn't really a lot of fun to be on. And I will also say that following that, I think there's some strengths to both the street and the piazza in that they're clean, they're pure, they're simple. And while I completely understand the logic of the diagonal and the topography, and I think that makes a lot of sense, and also the way that the road cuts through and minimally changes grade, I still think that maybe the interior, that it could be simplified and it could be more tying the, you know, a diagonal piazza, a simpler shape in the interior might be another successful approach.
Mm-hmm. My only thing, I mean, I like the diagonal, I think it was fine, but I think that might, some of that might hit it on the head, because what I didn't like about the diagonal is that 120th and 122nd have huge massing, whereas the other designs broke it up. And really, you have so much traffic going down to Costco. I don't want to see this turn into what Redmond has become, where it's just a wall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's a concern. Mm-hmm. Also, I think maybe it is just reworking it on 85th. It has to be more engaging than what was presented tonight. And this is just the conceptual. And I think we can hammer them more in the future, because you could easily put all the food service from the grocery store up on that level, since you already are having the seating up there. There are ways of engaging that. So I'm not concerned as much, but I think we have to say you've got to engage 85th, because I don't want this to become like Redmond Town Square either, where everything is individualized and facing inward, and it's just not a pleasant experience.
And like you're saying, if they did put a lot more food service, even if it's as simple as that, along the grocery store that's along 85th, I mean, that's something that can be active then year-round, you know? I mean, people are going to eat lunch every day, and if it's a nice enough location, people certainly drink coffee every day, you know, might be an opportunity there if it's done right, you know? Like you're saying, this
and
is...
Plus, too, it won't be just pedestrians. You're going to have all that residential... those people are going to use that area, so, you know, it can be enlivened.
As many as 1,200 or more people living.
Yes, right there. Right so,
in the same lot.
But I, my concern on that plan, though, is the massing and being the conceptual portion here, and also the abruptness of the way it deals with U-Haul. Mm-hmm. I think the massing along that, I'm trying to picture it. Here you have an existing road that won't be touched, and I understand that there's probably a little bit of a issue there that they can't or they don't want to, but we're going to end up with a very abrupt wall that's not engaging at all, and this is on 85th. And
it's the tough thing about these conceptual conferences, especially when they go to the extra length to help us start to visualize it more than it, you know, creates more, maybe more questions from us than a simple building envelope would have. And say, okay, well, we'll see how that's handled the next stage. So it's good. I think it's good to air
the way the stairway, I thought, you know, at the corner, because it's a huge drop at, right at that corner where the Outback currently is. Mm-hmm. That is actually a very unique, engaging way of dealing with it, and I think it's very creative having the grocery, you know, daylighted, and then having a plaza above it. Mm-hmm. I just look at that. I wish that on 120th and 122nd that we didn't have these long. How long is that? Okay, how long are the buildings? So we ask the.
Yeah. Scott, if you look at all three, I mean, I agree with you. We want to minimize the length of the buildings on 120th and 122nd. I don't see a lot of difference. That's been a concern I've had.
But if you look at, if you look at the you know, the other ones, they stared back. They
do.
Yeah, those longer building forms are 180 by about 66 to 70. Feet long, so.
That's the residential.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I mean, this is a good chance of, you know, to express those concerns up front, so maybe it can be mitigated in the first round instead of, you know, being drawn out to the second design response or something like that. So.
Well, and. I hate to say that 120th is going to be a greater concern to me, because 122nd is also a concern, but you have a huge portion of Brooklyn going on using 120th.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, it is the downhill, it's the dark side, it's that's going to be a very dark corridor.
Well, I guess that's why I'm wondering if the saying that 122nd has the friendlier, it's encouraged to develop as a pedestrian crossing street, and let 120th be Costco cars, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing, as a, so I prefer the hub scheme as well, and I like the site organization of it. I'm thinking about the main probably pedestrian traffic in this area right now is kids up from the high school. So if kids from the high school are going to Costco for a hot dog at lunch, right, would they come across 122nd through this diagonal way down and then the Costco crosswalk?
But isn't the school at 120th, though?
It spans from 120th to 122nd.
But the main exit is at 120th.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why I'm asking the question, right, is – we don't have control here of the U-Haul site, which is the anchor tenant of the intersection, right? And the 120th crossing is a harder place to walk across than 122nd, because there's so many more lanes of traffic going so many more directions. So is it, you know, I'm just thinking of it as interesting exercises, you know, the people living here, would kids go up 120th to go to school? Would they come up here? Would they go 122nd because it's more, it's nicer, it's friendlier, it's safer, and again, like I said, what is happening here that's going to establish a pattern for use that's later on? The project is much friendlier on the east than the west because of the grade. So we have, you know, the walls aren't as tall. I wonder if there's some mitigation to occur along the north and the west. The building walls appear to be a little more static on those sides than they are on the east and south. Again, the south is a little silent. And then the dilemma of this project is that everything is one, you know, the front side is inside and the back side is on the street. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm going to encourage the applicant to try to turn outward at least at some point along the perimeter, and I think we need to say where that should occur.
My thought on the hub is your point, Susan, about, oh, this is a real nice strong diagonal for pedestrians. I don't see the need for the pedestrian path to continue beyond the question I'd asked earlier about what that X box was, because I don't see the, and the applicant said, well, we're going to have to fence off and screen off so that the residentials have their own private little, but the continuation of that pedestrian path gets you basically to some really nice stairs at Costco, you know, to the flashing ped crossing there, and I don't see that as a real real necessary piece of pedestrian pathway. I'm kind of leaning to saying, well, what if we take some of the best pieces of hub and some of the better pieces of piazza and combine them? I think the best thing about the hub, which we always talk about, oh, the pedestrian orientation, but it works best for the vehicles on the cross street with only 12 feet of difference with that zig that way instead of the piazza way. But is there a way to take some of the better pieces of the hub, the way it works, you know, vehicle-wise, with some of the piazza and make that work better? And then I think Dave's alluded to it a couple times. The north edge of all of these things is going to be basically a 60-foot just straight, you know, residential to the ground level. And, you know, Dave says, well, it's a disservice to the people to the north. Well, at this point, it's a part of a small parking lot, and that old house that continually tries to get rezoned into something else, and it's got some wetland issues, and I don't know if it's ever going to be, you know, something that it isn't. It did get rezoned. Was it PAR or what?
With the 2035 plan, with the hotel use allowed, and that's where that 54-foot height was allowed.
So that was on the other side of 122nd originally, the request for the.
Right.
So this is on. Okay. But anyway, my point on the pedestrian path of the hub, I think it complicates things when you get to the residential portion of the property, that maybe there's a simpler way to get down to 120th, the piazza street. There is pushed further north. Maybe there's a way to reconfigure the buildings a bit, but on any of these schemes, the north side of these residential structures is going to be towering over Digipen and anything else that's there. If there's a way to increase the setbacks there, or say that we need step backs or something to wedding cake it just a bit,
you know, something to soften the edges,
so that we don't.
The north.
So the north side of all of these, it'll become pretty clear when we see some 3D, you know, initial diagrammatic stuff. But I think that's going to be a real area that we will want to see what happens there.
Well, when you guys are weighing the hub and the piazza, what do you think about the east-west crossing street? Between the two, we basically have one zigs and one zags.
So. Well, I think the hub one makes a lot more sense, just logically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, to the extent that it also is directly across from the back door entrance to Costco, which a lot of people use, you know, even though the speed bumps are treacherous there. I don't see this not getting signalized or something in some way at some future point. There's no way that this many vehicles will exit and enter without that having something happen there. I think 122nd is going to end up being widened with some additional turn lanes, because currently I think it's only one southbound lane, one southbound turn lane, and a single northbound curb lane, correct?
Is there a turn lane?
I think there's a devoted left-hand turn, or maybe there isn't. Maybe it's just a signal.
Just right at 85th?
Yeah, right at 85th and 122nd.
I can't remember, and I just turned there.
It is three lanes, okay.
So, Tim, are you saying, though, that it's got you to here, but then this is the piece that you're not sure of? Is this north?
Yeah, the hub, I like the smaller buildings, but, if there's a way to make that more of a private residential courtyard that doesn't have this pedestrian pathway through it, it would help that aspect of it and maybe let the pedestrians get out,
You just filter them out along the cross-connecting road? You mean filter them out to 120th sooner?
You could do that, or you could push, maybe take those two L shapes and do something with them and bring them together a little bit and let some pedestrians get out in a different way somehow. I like the instead of 18 feet of elevation drop across there with a steep, steep ramp. Currently the steep ramp that gets you in right by the Lee Johnson Auto, that's a tough little place right there. And both the piazza and the with the 16 or 18 feet of drop, that's a real steep little ramp getting into off of 120th. So the gentler that slope is right there, the hub, it looks like it's even showing some parallel parking or something on that little piece of the, maybe I'm reading it wrong, but, if that's the case, that is not such a steep little road right there, because it certainly wouldn't work as steep as it is now to parallel there.
So as configured currently, the hub, the right-hand north building is set way back. So the in terms of the property to the north, the impact is much less than the building to the left.
Well, there,
you see, it's an L. The residential is L shape. Let's see. You can see it
on the piazza or on the hub.
On the hub. Let's go back.
I see L-shaped with a big courtyard to the north.
Yeah. So that it helps for that property to immediately to the north.
So it's the L-shaped building on the far northwest corner that is.
But the other one is.
Okay. Setback-wise, I'm sort of appreciating the 20 feet on 120th with some nice landscaping and. Mm-hmm. And even if it isn't residential on that ground floor, and instead it's you see through a screened set of openings to a parking garage, which we're very familiar with now, I think that works just fine. In 122nd at 16 feet, I think because of the street dropping follows a little bit more closely and relates to the building right there. I think that's sufficient, in my opinion.
How about the 16 feet on 85th?
I think it depends on what that becomes, what the built structure is right there.
Okay, 16 I'm really feet away. Pleased with how it's the dropped
sidewalk so that there's a separation. I think that's as well handled as that something like that could be. I think all the edges have been really carefully and sensitively dealt with for this situation.
On 85th, did you like the, I think where it was they have more of a setback for like a little seating area?
I liked it where
little...
it was really separated. I can't remember which option it was.
I think it was the third one.
The second one or, sorry, the first or the third? The third.
The grade separation.
Yeah, with the grade separation.
Mm-hmm. I kind of still like the keeping the city sidewalk where it is. And then some planting, and then the drop right there, rather than the third one over.
The first one.
Yeah, the first
that
one.
That one's good too, I think.
And did the first one? It allowed for some little, seating area, something that's fairly engaging there, right at the building, or
yeah. Or I can't. Scott, you were saying put the food court sort of stuff.
Yeah, I liked one because really the sidewalk's the sidewalk. Do something that's going to actually enliven the building.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was, yeah.
Rather, I'm not in favor of bringing the sidewalk in.
No.
You know, with an overly large planting strip, essentially. I think it works well as it is now with the read on 85th.
And when we're talking, this is the one time where we actually have a fair amount of discretion when it comes to setbacks. So it was making me think a lot of when we're looking at Dibble, say, where we had a fairly structured zoning code, and we were saying, well, man, I wish we had flexibility in exchange for, had more explicit flexibility with, higher quality design, things like that. So in this case, that's the first thing that popped in my mind. I said, well, maybe setback is driven a little bit by what's presented for design as well. It's not just a fixed value and say this is your setback now. Mm-hmm. Now build a building. So we were talking about. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say. I mean, I understand and agree with the grocer being sunken. I think I would still like the piece of the project that engages 85th to have a use and not just be
a clear story.
A window into the grocery store below. So.
We're just talking a bit about softening the edges and setbacks, and I guess maybe that sort of segues too into the residential at ground level. How do people feel about that on the north end of the project?
Where I think where we've seen that use, it's really successful, and that is a really, in my opinion, that's a very successful way of giving a sense of pedestrian friendliness as opposed to it. Well, it's not the arterial, but having that arterial. So I'm all for that.
Because there's kind of a condition like that in Juanita, where you are far away from the commercial, but it is just walk up residential right there at the sidewalk. You have a 10-foot sidewalk, and you walk right into your, and some of them are even, just with the grade change, some have little sunken patios, we're going to call them entrances, and then some are right at grade, and it kind of adds to a little bit of engagement, a little bit more visual interest than just walking along a wall or something. So
if it has a more urban feel too, I like that better than seeing the screen parking.
Oh yeah, certainly.
Yeah, definitely more urban feel and more opportunities for people to hang out instead of standing next to a parking garage.
At this point, that setback there is not delineated as ground-related entries to units, so if that's what we're asking for, we should probably ask to see that.
Sure.
Are we saying that we're gonna encourage and say sure, go ahead and put residential on the north side of the access drive? I mean, on the south side of the access drive, but the north end of those buildings, right there is.
You're saying the very north the north side of the north building.
Yeah, is that residential on the ground floor right there? Right, it, it, and we get.
I was thinking 122nd myself.
Yeah.
Then I was thinking 120th, so maybe we're all
that's
thinking
kind of
a different location.
Wait.
Yeah, 120th yeah. doesn't have.
It's too high there.
Well,
I guess I'm sorry. I was thinking in terms
okay.
of more of
the 122nd, the pharmacy wrapped around. Am I incorrect?
So I think if you, I can't find the elevation.
The pharmacy is the first building along 122nd, and
yeah.
then there is residential in that second one, correct?
So this is backside.
Follows the street right down, like you're saying.
But then this was shown as permeable storefront or just glazed facade to the ground that had, I believe they wanted to have lot or some sort of ground related detail, residential
stuff. That one. Yeah, so.
Yeah, this one. It's our 2533. At least let me see if it's
so on the bottom section, the far right edge.
That's the one that we were mailed. Sorry, the new one tonight is
24 in the big today's packet.
Yeah,
so that looks like the pharmacy starts to pick up transparency towards the north end at some point, and then on the other side of the new street, there's a commercial. Then when you look over on 120th, it's residential, at least one story above grade.
Yeah, and that first story above grade, or story and a half, is just the screened parking garage there. So maybe it's a good question, applicant, just to clarify on where did they have a fairly precise idea where you're asking for or talking about residential at grade at ground floor.
Yeah, we I see that we had some refinements here. I said earlier this was amenity space. This is actual denoted as residential space by the comments there. We had a meeting with staff on Friday and clarified a few of these issues, but we were really talking about the steepest part of the site, the northwest corner of the site. When we were talking about stepping that ground floor down from one half of the site to the other. And we think the road is a natural place to make that step and then bring some of these other uses down if that's acceptable.
Okay. So on 120th, is the notion that you might have liner residential townhome type things on that, so the top section?
We hadn't gotten quite that far yet. We were actually thinking about maybe some corner retail or something here or some amenity space, but that's certainly an option. I know some of the other projects in town have been dropping some townhome type residential units along the street, but that's not something we've gotten to yet.
Okay. But that, just for our meeting, that south or the north edge of that main entrance to the project, we did discuss with the applicant potential trying to retail that ground floor, so that as you're coming north on 120th, you're seeing a retail corner there as you're turning to the site.
Mm-hmm.
But then what happens north of that, whether it's parking garage or residential, I think the direction's valid and they can deal with that.
Okay. Well, maybe we're drilling too deep into the details of precisely how they want to do it. Maybe it's more of the general comment. Are we as a board happy to entertain residential at the ground floor to make a more.
I'd rather see residential than parking.
Yes. I agree. So,
on the access drive on the north edge, is that parking spot at ground level?
I'm sorry, one more time.
On the north edge
yes.
along the access drive, is that all?
Yes. Now there are a couple ways to handle that, and maybe that's a section for next time. But on the north side, we can sort of step that access road back and then up with the apartment blocks, if you will, or you can step up the entire mass. And I think I'm hearing tonight that anything that we can do to reduce that wall, whether it by maybe stepping it twice from the parking edge to the residential edge or something. we can look at some things that'll sort of reduce that and that setback within the width of the road, and then the shape of the building, of course. But currently, that's shown that that's also the thinking was that it would be something more along this line on the north side, just some grilled screening so that we can ventilate the parking areas below.
Susan, you were asking about the north side of the cross, the zigzag cross street, correct? Or were you talking way at the far north?
I was, well, the border, far basically, north,
right? Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it sounds like we're lining the east-west, new east-west street with uses at grade.
Grade, so, not parking.
I was gonna ask anything more. As far as my list go, that was kind of the last major one to talk about setbacks and the residential at grade. I think you know, just to, should we summarize, Tony? What's the our best approach here?
I would. It sounds like that. We're all leaning towards the hub option and proceeding with that. And then I guess from that, what do you want to see? I heard there's some discussion maybe looking at incorporating some of the elements from the Piazza design, maybe into that hub design, and just kind of what you're...
Yeah, I mean, and I don't want to speak for anyone that, you know, I think kind of the general consensus was, you know, we were liking the, you know, more engaging, you know, design approach for along 85th. Maybe that first, the first section there that they have on their board was one that seemed, I think, generally had the most consensus for liking that approach. That residential at ground floor is fine. We're happy to look at that if it gets rid of screened parking and provides a superior design. A lot of concerns about the massing, especially along the, if you want to call it the back side of the project, but the north half of the project, especially the north end of the project. I don't know, that's, I think, capturing a fair amount of it in a nutshell, unless anyone has more they want to add to the
Scott
board.
Scott had a concern, as I guess we probably all do, with the longer buildings. On 120th and 122nd, and I make it there a little over 100 feet, and there certainly need to be addressed modulation and roof change, whatever it takes to break them up.
Mm-hmm. And the wall, the how this project is meets yeah. U-Haul, for lack of a better term, which I know that detail will come out, but. You know, it's something to be sensitive with the design. So.
Well, I said it before. I don't know if anybody agrees with me, but I still think that the part of the Piazza that I think works better than the hub is the clarity of the figure ground and the interior. looking especially at the illustrated landscape plan, you know, there's a lot going on in between those, and it just doesn't have a... It's confusing to me, and I know it's not really worked out, but I still, from my perspective, would encourage the applicant to take a look at, you know, at looking at some of the elements of keeping it that strong interior form. It's just more successful in my mind.
So I think if I were to turn that into guidance, it's things like the paving materials and the landscape edging that you're creating a focal space.
Well, and the edges are, edges too. Obviously, it's going to be modulated on all that, but all of that.
Mm-hmm. And are you saying too, I mean, even just the you know, it is a lot more area there and not as dissected by, well, never mind, sorry, there's a little loop through parking, but.
It's not the area. I don't think it needs to be that large. Okay. It's cool. Just that I guess one thing that bothers me is the small, unusually shaped, it's not a kiosk, it's much larger, but for me, the space around that, what happens in all the spaces, is just not very clear. So.
Okay.
To the extent that there's lots of cars driving around looking to get lucky and find that spot, is that, I mean, it seems like they all of the schemes kind of have that, and certainly it's driven by the fact that we need a two-bay loading dock that, you know, is going to have the semis backing into it. I mean, I agree with you somewhat on the piazza, and that's where I was going a little bit earlier with take some elements of it maybe and replay with the hub a touch. I mean, the entrance off the piazza and the hub on 122nd and 85th is pretty similar. I mean, it's, you know, they're almost interchangeable. The buildings that, you know, touch it are a little different, but certainly that pedestrian approach there is right. Very similar. And it's just what happens when you get to that bottom level. Now, let's say that somebody wants to close off those vehicle access in the piazza for a big shindig of some kind. That works pretty well and from what you're suggesting, I think. Is that right?
Yeah. So that it would be more of a room, it's not just a lot of meander. Unrelated spaces that don't necessarily flow or mm-hmm. yeah. create a cohesive place.
So there could be, it sounds, I mean, this guidance, I guess we say, you know, there's more to be resolved around the how that plaza space is configured and utilized in the in the hub design versus the piazza.
Well,
trying to capture some of the elements.
I know, say, the successes of the piazza space was it was wide enough that it's not going to be so shaded. And you success of some of the open spaces are very determined on when the sun hits what. Because, mm-hmm. yes, in the summertime, shade's, you know, desirable. In the wintertime, it's very dark. So we should probably say with, you know, when they come back, having a sunshade study.
And I think I just want to be a little cautionary because I agree with you, Carolyn, that the hub scheme has a lot of spaces, but there's a lot of space here. And I'm a little concerned yeah. about just making it one. I think that the piazza open space is too large.
It's very large. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Contiguous
yeah.
space. And so it's going to be pick and choose something.
Yeah, I agree.
Something one, something two.
Yeah, I imagine, and just Scott's point, in the winter, if there is, like in the piazza, there's really nothing out there to really draw activity to the middle of that. It would be pretty much no man's land for 7 months out of 8 months out of the year, maybe. But
mm-hmm. I guess I would also, on the hub scheme, I know it was the angle of that axis was just kind of determined by going from corner to corner on the site, and that's just very arbitrary. Maybe there's a slightly different angle that could work better, that gives, that's easier to build, or, you know, is more more amenable to making it work better for the individual buildings that, you know, sit on top of the plate. I mean, I can just see the parking garage levels below with the loads that have to come down through from all of these things with all the odd angles is going to be real interesting. Not that it has to be just, you know, all orthogonal like the piazza might be, but certainly there, that angle that was chosen was just purely arbitrary. Maybe there's a different angle that
yeah,
works better.
Yeah, I would play devil's advocate on that because I do think it's, you know, it's connecting the one corner that we have control over
mm-hmm.
for this project with a main crossing point to connect to Costco. And I mean, if we come down here and we go back to this access road, then you're walking, you know, basically on the alley. And I can see that coming out here, you know, coming out on the east-west crossing street is nice, and then you walk maybe down 120th. But I guess I'm not sure that it's totally totally arbitrary in terms of.
So since half of Costco parking lot on the overflow has been cut off, what if that flashing ped crossing moves north to where it makes more sense for the remainder of that, you know, of the Costco parking lot, and therefore this termination of this pedestrian access isn't makes no sense there. You could come down sooner and walk north, or, you know, put in, you know what I'm saying? It's just.
It's kind of determining which pedestrian experience is more desirable, walking between two pretty big residential buildings or, apartment buildings, or going down an improved 120th. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, remember that there's grade here. I'm not sure that this makes any more sense as the main pathway than coming through to it. But I think we should just look at it.
Let them, yeah.
So next time we sure need 3D perspective views of this.
Yeah, and there's, I apologize, I'm not an architect. What's the program you're saying that, you know, that makes it a little easier for a mock-up and a fly-through to be able to?
SketchUp, Revit, there's all kinds of ones, but I personally use SketchUp because it's real fast, and we don't need complex photorealistic stuff at this point. We just need diagrammatic, clearly showing. I mean, I'd like to see the propane tank of U-Haul shown. I'd like to see a bunch of 24-foot, 20-foot, you know, fake trucks and things, so we get a real sense for what's there. And across the street, you know, on 120th, how big is Costco? What does the grove of trees look like? You know, what's that experience with all the curb cuts to get into the gas station? To get into the building that's tucked way back in there. I don't even know what the name of it is anymore. That level of 3D is very doable in a very simple conceptual way that I think is really useful at this first early stages.
Okay.
So we can ask, I mean, the applicant can choose whatever they want, but I would strongly encourage something that would.
Something that gives us that ability.
Well, and it's not canned. Here's what it looks like from here, but that we have the ability to say, you know, like we've done in the past on other projects. Can you rotate around? Can you move here? Can you walk through there? I think is real beneficial at this point.
Well, could be, and even with probably live, to that point.
With live sections where you can just move the section plane through the project, it's really beneficial to see what happens when things change. Doing that again.
I will say, though, that I truly appreciate the drawings that are presented today.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For conceptual design conference, this is.
I think this is a lot more to chew on than usual.
Yeah. True, true.
And that we had three options.
There's three real options.
Yeah, I was going to say
and
that earlier.
Options within options. And,
yeah.
Wasn't a slightly different L, so that's option two now. Mm-hmm. But to Tim's point, too, you know, there are some perspectives I think we're. And again, because we're at this level at this meeting, you know, that we're. Some perspectives from the northwest corner, or looking into the northwest corner of the project, and the northeast corner, I suppose, too, which are, you know, not the main cornerstones of the project, but certainly important perspectives to understand a little bit better along that north side. So,
well, and I think the south,
mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean.
And details in terms of what could be developed on the west, north, and east, and how this structure will, or this development will interface with it.
You're saying as far as the building envelope would go, for the zoning envelope in the adjacent, properties, yeah. Is that fairly clear enough direction, Tony? Any? Pretty standard. I mean, I know usually come up with this at the end of all of these, but
it's pretty standard. I think the project in general is on somewhat of a tight time frame for making some key decisions. So I just look to the applicant and the team to make sure they've got what they need out of tonight, because it'll be a while before it gets back to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good enough. So, entertain a motion to, do we move to continue to, we don't have to move, we don't have to continue on
no continuing
response conference. Okay, and that's that. Thank you. I didn't, and I guess as far as administrative reports go, we don't have anything, or do
no,
we?
Just that there's nothing scheduled for June 19th, and July 3rd will be canceled. And so far, we have nothing on the agenda for the second July meeting, but we'll see if we can find ways to entertain.
Yeah, you could always do that. Is there one for the week after? We had talked about doing something instead of
there's,
July 3rd, but
we
have
anything. Have, but there's no business that's come up. So I really, at this point, I really don't see the need for that.
So maybe July 17th.
I think so. We'll get in touch with you if something, like another conceptual conference pops up, but there's just nothing on the horizon at this point.
Were we going to see the, Totem Lake, the building B, three, whatever it was, C, that came back for the minor? Are they going to return pretty quickly, or do we know?
I haven't heard, and I wasn't at that meeting.
Yeah,
so.
You weren't.
Were we supposed to, I thought we were just giving kind of advising staff.
Where did you leave it? Did Was there expectation they'd come back and show you something?
I thought they just had to go back to staff, though.
Yeah, they did, but I think there were some still some pretty meaty things that, you know, as I recall.
I wasn't here.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm right in the middle. I know, of course, because I was asking Angela, do you need more information? No, this is purely advisory. We're just an advisory role. It's not been a traditional thing we've done. But
yeah, I think Houghton Everest... I don't think there's an expectation that that's coming back.
No, not there.
Okay.
No, this was on Totem Lake.
John
yeah.
Totem Lake.
Because it may be something we should have discussed.
Well, it was
at
the
that
balcony
time.
The taking off the sunshades.
Yeah.
The brick. The new
that's
brick.
Right. Yeah, with the sunshade.
Oh,
shade
you know what?
Change.
In that center, the Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
they
yeah.
took
the
off the glass.
That's
yes,
right.
That was
did,
pretty
that's
major.
Right.
The parking,
yeah.
the garage entry, and all that. That's why
we didn't have a lot of major changes. I'm trying to remember precisely where.
See, I didn't know if it still is. That was John Regala, so I think wasn't.
Oh, it was
John.
Oh, John on that, not Angela.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if if John says,
probably depends on what the. I mean, if that wasn't clear at the end of that meeting, it probably depends on what the applicant comes back with. If they revert back to.
I think we made it pretty clear that we had some misgivings with the way the sides of the balconies were now, you know, these closed off kind of solid forms. It looked out of place, and we did say we wanted to see it when it comes back.
I thought we did, but it's up to John.
So I'm just
if he
recreating
thinks
that
they've
now.
Addressed our concerns, then we're good to go. And if he says no, he wants to bring it back to us, then that's what I guess happens. So,
I guess this is a question I had because I kind of got thinking about it. Post that meeting, since this is kind of a new thing we're doing now, where for minor changes, minor variations, where they typically just come back to staff saying, well, now we're going to run it through ERB as well.
No, there's plenty of minor modifications that are happening with most projects.
Sure.
But they've got to get to a certain point where staff is losing our confidence that it's minor.
Right.
And that we're going to deliver what the DRB
that
expected.
Pretty major and also
well,
they,
that, and
they
that,
had
that was
material
gonna be
changes that did change the
screening.
Well,
yeah, the screening and the bricks. And it was, you know, black brick before. And then they changed it to concrete.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of my kind of point of my thought is that almost became a design response conference instead of we had to change the type of glass we're using. It was more substantial than what I thought would be a typical.
Well, the crash barriers with just CMU that was going to be painted. That was one of the biggest thing that I think almost universally we were like, that's not what we.
Well, my concern was born from, because I was just talking to Angela about it on one of the other projects. We've done this a few times now. I said, and she said, you don't really have any authority. This is just an advisory thing. I said, okay, well, what if we say this is not what we approved?
Right.
Now, what is...
Then you're advising...
Are we advising
in the case
staff
of that
to say,
you're advising
don't,
John, hey, John, I don't think that's a minor modification. And John's got the decision to make then.
Right.
That if it's not a minor modification, it's coming back as a new application.
Well, that was my question. Let's say this is purely hypothetical. John says, no, I think that is just a minor modification. I'm going to go ahead and approve that. And if the board said, no, we don't think that. I mean, what was the point of us advising? I'm not saying that would happen.
Yeah, I don't think we would have asked you.
Be in alignment.
But you don't have to bring them. There are plenty of things that come through that change, you know, just design development and value engineering and stuff that's happening out there on projects. But most of it, you're not going to notice. If you go, you know, this is what we approved, this is what changed, you might see little things here and there, but it's not going to be that dramatic. But if we're bringing something to you, then we're probably not comfortable with it, or we think you should know
about it. There's a reason you're bringing it in the first place.
You're helping us make that decision and ferret that out and somewhat being the hammer, because the option of it not being a minor modification is a lot of time and money for a development.
Right.
To come back through the process again.
Yeah. And I guess my concern is being born out of thinking too, say, well, all right, let's show all the nice materials, all the nice design to get this thing approved, and then we're gonna start cutting corners when it comes to materials. And it'll look the same, but you know, maybe we'll get it through staff and we'll be fine. That's kind of where my
POD there.
Scott's one that should be more afraid than ALS, since I didn't have to go to that meeting. But, Scott, I just want to avoid those things in the future, is what I'm thinking.
We're protecting Scott. It's really what we're
doing. You're in the same
place. That was just a shock. It wasn't that it was.
The knotty pine paneling.
Well, because in all honesty, no. I mean, there were, now looking at the building, there would be difference. There'd be changes. This board would do it differently than that board. But you get one or two different people on this board, and it will be a different board.
Yeah.
And the developer cut corners. They made fairly substantial changes on that building. And I think that if it had been built the way the design review board reviewed it, with real wood on the bell tower, the more subtle. But I will say, a year later, that knotty pine, it softened. It was, when it was first put up, yeah, and the sun hadn't kind of bleached it. It was very.
I still don't like it.
I believe that. It looks like it's warping.
It is better. Maybe we're just used to it. I don't gasp anymore.
Yeah, I just drove by there yesterday.
Well, and they took the brick. The whole first floor was brick, and then it was concrete.
It's not even well stacked, or I mean, it's pretty brutal. Just brick with chamfer.
And the landscaping was very meager. It was not what was pictured, but it was to spec. And so there is a difference. When they draw something, they draw it lush, but then if you look at the specs, what they call out in the specs is what they're going to put in. And a 1 gallon shrub could be a nice big 1 gallon shrub, or it could be a stick in a pot. They definitely did the stick in the pot. Yeah.
Stick in a pot.
Well, because we dug in the soil to see what, they're going, gosh, this is bad.
I wonder if they do that, though, Scott, when you got so much money in the building.
You know what happens is landscaping is the very last contractor in, and the builder has been hit with so many additional expenses that when they get this budget, and when they go to the bank, too, a contractor never really asks a landscaper. They kind of guess. You know, they're doing forecasts of what they think it will cost. Well, what they don't realize is there's a plant shortage right now. So, we went through a period when the building boom was down, or when there was no demand for plants. So wholesale nurseries went out of business. Greenhouses went out of business. No one planted. So then all of a sudden, when we're in a kind of a boom right now, there's no supply. So people, you're going to Oregon. Everyone's competing for plant material right now. That means that it's expensive. So the prices are double. And so then you get this budget from the builder, and it won't cover so that's why, how it happens. And the builder is right there saying, no more upgrades. I'm out of money. I'm not going to spend one more dime.
In today's market, they probably have all the units leased out anyhow, so they don't care if they look in dirt.
Oh, it's
they're paying.
And you look at the really boom times, that's when like subdivisions look hideous because the builder will say, I can sell this house 10 times over. Mm-hmm. I don't need to do anything more.
You need to put sod in.
Guy won't see it before he buys it anyhow, or maybe he'll take a quick look at it.
We'll take a stick in the pot times 20. And
Well, I apologize for belaboring that point, but I just wanted to bring up and ask staff while we were in a formal setting in case that was not okay to talk about informally. So,
good question.
All right.
I move for adjournment.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right.
Has anyone ever proposed one of the adjournments?
All right.
Has anyone ever proposed one of the adjournments?